Yeah, so one says, how to balance the tension between the warrior energy taking action to impact this earth and the awareness of perfection of all that is, then the weariness and humility that weaves through this. How to balance that?
Yes.
Good question.
I mean it's that that there's those there are those tensions all the time, and of course the way that the Buddha encourages us to be reflecting on is the that's what say what dukkha is that sense of dis-ease, discontent, stress, suffering in different ways, whether it's minor or major. Those are the aspects of where we can reflect and see, because sometimes, because if we're just acting out of anxiety or fear, I mean it's very stressful. And to not have I mean if one is in the human form, in the human condition, and one doesn't it doesn't dawn on one that this is actually it's a bit, yeah, sir, it's a bit scary. Nobody, we didn't ask to be born. We certainly don't ask to get sick. Nobody wants to die. Nobody wants to experience loss in any way, but that's a part of the package. So that inevitably there's going to be some kind of difficulty that challenges us. So that sense of, but when the mind moves to anxiety, dwells on it or fear, then we can collapse in on that, and that is really a source of it's a source of suffering. To be able to say inspire the mind or lift up the mind in a way that is really skillful and one and certainly a point of and I'm say I mentioned it actually in last night's Dhamma talk that our default option as human beings is we opt to that negativity bias. We pick up on the negative more frequently than we pick up on the positive. And that's when that is kind of the baseline default option, then we need to put more attention onto the things which are positive, which are brightening the mind, which are say energizing in a skillful way, in a very, very wholesome way. So that's why, say like many of the, I mean, there's different teachings that the Buddha gives that are using thought or using recollection. Like there's a set of teachings called the 10 recollections. And the most of them are recollections that are very positive and uplifting, because that's what we need. And some of them are actually say recollection of death. That's a bit more sobering. That's a bit more leaning to dispassion. So that has an appropriate place. But it is interesting that statistically it would be the majority would be recollections that are positive. Like there's first three: recollection of the Buddha, recollection of Dhamma, recollection of Sangha, recollection of generosity, recollection of virtue, recollection of the devas, celestial beings, heavenly beings. And that recollection is more in the sense of, oh, there are these heavenly beings and they are born in these fortunate realms because of their good karma, their good action. And so then it's an encouragement that, oh, this is natural. Or the, of course, the next one is then Marnasati, which is a bit more sobering, but it's really useful because the need for not being heedless or not being careless or not taking things for granted. A recollection of the body in all sorts of different ways, and that could go either way in terms of recollection of the elements, or recollection of the parts of the body, or the recollection of unattractive nature of the body. So it's looking at limitations that we have, and then mindfulness of breathing is a very calming and soothing. And the last one is recollection of peace. And it's always equated with the peace of liberation, peace of freedom. Again, a sense of directing attention to what is uplifting. And that goes in, because oftentimes with, in modern practice circles, there tends to be a tendency to think that it's all about, not thinking. So my mind, I've got to stop my mind. I got to stop my mind from thinking. If only my mind would stop thinking. I wish it was more. It's so out of control. But it's more like, no. How do you turn that thought process, which is intrinsic to being a human being? How do we turn it to our advantage? How do we turn it to brightening and inevitably the nature of the mind, the way how the Buddha describes it, that the more that the mind is drawn to the wholesome, skillful, bright, happy states of mind, the more inclined it is to be peaceful because it is settled within itself. It's like, and there's a few discourses where the Buddha is just really explicit in terms of, developing different meditation and ways of training oneself, leading to delight, leading to joy, leading to tranquility, leading to happiness. And then where he actually stops and says, the happy mind is easily settled. And it's like, that is where samadhi arises from. It's not from trying to squeeze your mind into some peaceful state. It's from settling and becoming so familiar with happiness and well-being that one is content to be with the experience that one's finding oneself in. So that sense of developing the wholesome, developing the positive, it's not just a kind of Mickey Mouse, rinky dink kindergarten practice. I mean, it's the foundation of a really wise human life.
Wow. Thank you. Wow. Thank you, Lupa. No, it's not Mickey Mouse. Oh, goodness. Oh, questions, more questions.